All right. In this Bitochen boot camp idea that we've been talking about, a summary of a presentation that I did recently, I think we're up to number five. That was entitled, Let's Develop Bitochen Together. That's like a little bit of a workshop. So I think point number one is that Bitochen is real. And it has to be real. The Chazon Ish has a beautiful moshel of somebody who has a very successful business, a store or something, you know, really doing well, and he's thanking Hashem, and he's so appreciative to Hashem, and he trusts Hashem that he'll continue to be matzliach. His bitochen is off the charts. All of a sudden, a competitor moves in across the street, and he's oismensch. He's falling apart. He's got, he doesn't know what hit him. He's And the Chazon Ish says he was singing the song of Bitochen, but it wasn't real. He was talking the talk, but he couldn't walk the walk. So it's very important that it has to be real. We cannot fool ourselves. Real, there are infinite levels of real. Even on the highest possible level that we could achieve, we're not going to be on the level of the Vilna Goyen's Bitochen, or Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Bitochen, or the Chofetz Chaim's Bitochen. That's unlikely. It has to be real on my level. That's real for me, whatever real is for me, but it has to be something that's real. And, you know, the famous moshel that they give, that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter told this guy about purchasing a lottery ticket because he needed $10,000, I think we mentioned that, and he says you have to have bitochen. And if you have truly have bitochen, you're going to get it. Guy comes back after weeks and says, I have bitochen. It doesn't help. He says, you really have bitochen? He says, absolutely. He says, 100%, you still have it? Yeah, $10,000. Will you sell it to me for $5,000? He says, yeah, sure. No, who are you fooling? We can't. It has to be real. Okay. So there's no push button bitochen that you just push a button. Oh, now I have bitochen. It's not a speech. It's not a mimer. It's not a mantra. It's a feeling in the heart. It's a sense of confidence in the heart that Hashem is going to help me, and that it, and I, and therefore it reduces my stress. It gives me menuchas hanefesh. And if it doesn't bring to menuchas hanefesh, then I may be fooling myself. So that's the thing. And how does one get there? Well, it's very hard work, but it requires constant effort. Now, the effort is on many different levels. One piece of effort which we tend to forget about, and that is studying the sources that talk about bitochen, to study them in depth as if it was a shir in Gemara. Excuse me. Most people deal with bitochen as a musa concept. So it's a Musa concept, okay, I'll read a little bit of Musa Sfarim, you know, I'll think about it, I'll hear some stories, but will I study it as a subject matter? Like I would study Shnayim Oichsin, Shnor Shnoichas Haporo, Yishaloi Midas, or a Sugya in Shabbos, or a Sugya in another Masechta. Yes, there are primary sources, there are Gemaras, and there are many endless comments from Rishonim, endless psukim in Hallel with Meforshim that explained. Dovid HaMelech talks about bitochen all day long, and all of these things have to be studied intensely, because one of the things that we know, and that's really one of the uniquenesses of our Torah, is that when one studies the primary sources, they penetrate not only the brain, but they penetrate to the heart. And a person begins to feel it. And when you study Hilchos Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos, technical details in this about Beirah and about Hoitzoh and about Bishul and about all of these things, not only does it tell me intellectually, hey, this is what I have to do, and this is what the halacha expects, and this is what Hashem told me to do, and these are the halachas on Shabbos that the Torah is talking about, but it motivates my heart to want to do it. I don't know if I gave this example, and I'm a little bit at a loss because I really don't know if we discussed this. But I think it's certain things are worthy of repetition. In fact, I have a vague recollection that we may have. But the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Yofet Talmud Torah im derech eretz, shegias shnei mashkachas ovoy. This is Talmud Torah, which is learning, and derech eretz, which is making a living. It's a good combo, because when you get involved in those two things, you won't sin. But and the Rabbeinu Simcha in the Machzor Vitri says that the Talmud Torah that we're talking about is learning the laws of Gzeila. Not less steal, all the intricate halachas of Gneva and Gzeila. So he says that when you do that, and you have a parnosa, so you're not tempted because you have basic Amai needs, you won't come to sin. You won't do Gzeila. But the Mishnah's Loshen is Mashkachas Ovoin. It causes it to be forgotten. What does it mean, forgotten? It's not forgotten. It means I don't do it. I know, you don't do Gzeila. I'm not tempted terribly because I have a basic parnos. I'm working, and I learn the halachas. I know you're not supposed to do it. What is it, forgotten? So I think the pshat is that the koyach ha-Torah, this is the Teres Hashem. When I study the Teres Hashem, whether it's the Teres Shebichsav that was dictated directly to Moshe Rabbeinu verbatim, or whether it's the Teres Shebalpeh that was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu and passed on from generation to generation to this very day, I'm connecting with Hashem. This is Hashem talking to me. This is the Teres Hashem. And that penetrates the heart as well. I'll give you a simple, simple marshal. We all know that the Chofetz Chaim wrote the book on Lashon Hara. Right? Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was the giant of his generation, said, maybe I could have written a Mishnah Berurah. He wasn't even sure. But I could never have written the Hilchos Lashon Hara. It's an original work, a liquid from all over, Kol HaTorah Kula, proving things on his own that nobody ever dealt with. It's the most amazing, amazing work. That's the Sefer Chofetz Chaim, the Hilchos Lashon Hara. Okay? So we learn that, and we understand that, okay, we learn it, and then we know that we shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. That's nice. But what if you met the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim tells you, listen, you got to be careful. Please don't ever speak Lashon Hara. And he holds your hand, and he's crying, you know, and he probably held your hand like this, you know, two hands. He's crying. He said, please, you can't speak Lashon Hara. It's such a... That would penetrate the heart. That's not just intellectual, that's an emotional experience. Torah is that, because this is the Teres Hashem. So if we appreciate that this is the Teres Hashem, if we say the Birchas HaTorah every day and recognize and remember and relive the fact that this came from Har Sinai, then it has an emotional impact as well. And that's the Mashkachas of it. The Torah causes it to be forgotten. It's like out of the pale of anything I could consider, because I studied the directive, the direct, divine directive about this matter. It's out of the realm of possibility for me. So the same thing with Bitochon. If we wish to get rid of stress, get rid of worry, get rid of nervousness, get rid of doubt, and imbibe this true sense of Bitochon, then the in-depth study of the sources can be a very big help. We all know the Chavis Halavovis has a Shara Bitochon, which is a primary source, can be studied in depth, and there are many others. Today, there are Sforim. One of the Sforim is called Igeres Al HaBitochon. It was written by Rabbi Bloch in Muncie, and he brings there phenomenal primary sources. You know, he sometimes says his own thing, but he brings primary sources from Rishonim, from giants, and that's the study of that penetrates emotionally. So that's the beginning of the process of imbibing Bitochon. Okay. Person has to focus on Hashem's chesed and rachamim in his life, and the life is his family, and beyond that, in order to recognize the extent of Hashem's chesed. If I recognize the extent of Hashem's chesed, then all of a sudden Bitochon becomes more of a rational thinking. Of course, look how much chesed he does. That's what he does. Until now, everything he did was chesed and rachamim, not because I deserved it. That inspires me emotionally to say, hey, why should he stop now? You know, if everything that I got in life I deserve, then maybe now I don't deserve it. But if everything in life is chesed and rachamim, so Hashem doesn't change. He's not fickle. He's not moody. He is who he is. He is the eternal. He is the constant in the world. And b'meila, seeing all the chesed and focusing on all the chesed can be a tremendous help in bringing me to have bitochen, because bitochen is, I'm trusting the chesed Hashem. That's where it starts. We mentioned this many times, that it doesn't start, even the bitochen that says, I'm sure I'm going to get something, it starts with, I'm confident in Hashem's chesed. And therefore, I have this sense from within that tells me, hey, I feel that he's not going to let me down. Okay, another thing is very important. Sometimes we are distracted by our lives and forget the extent of Hashem's involvement. In other words, I work, I do my thing, I put in my efforts, I'm doing so many different things. There are laws of nature, there are laws of business, there are natural realities. So, like, we forget, you know, the world is set up in a way almost to move in a teva. And therefore we forget that Hashem is involved. One of the dramatic experiences that I had, not traumatic, I had those too, but this was dramatic. Dramatic experiences I had is that a friend of mine from Los Angeles many years ago sent us for the yeshiva, sent a check, FedEx, for $25,000. This was like 20-some years ago. $25,000 was still a bissel of geld in those days, you know. Sent a check. FedEx, the best of the courier services. I'm waiting all day. Doesn't show up. 3 o'clock, the bank closes in those days. And no FedEx. I remember I looked at my watch. I was sitting in the car. I remember calling from the car. It was 3:02. And I called my wife and I said, I don't get it. FedEx is the best of the courier services. The whole business world relies on FedEx next day delivery, you know. And me, the schlamazel, can't get my $25,000 check with a normal FedEx. And she says, without skipping a beat, she says, Chochem. At least she called me a Chochem, yeah? You relied on the FedEx, not on the Rebbeinu Shalom. Not once did I think about Hashem, reference to that FedEx that day, or that $25,000, because it was in the mail. Not in the mail, I would say the check's in the mail, not that kind of stuff. But it was in the FedEx. The guy sent, he's like, anemone. There was a snowstorm down south, and it got clear. That day, the FedEx didn't work. You know, but like, and it's so true. The money is in the bank. The money is in the FedEx. The money is on the way. I get paid. Payday is Friday, and the government didn't close down or something like that, you know? So, like, what? No. We have to know, Chazal say, Gedoyla parnoso yoyse mi geula. Parnoso is even greater than geula, than redemption. Why? Because geula can sometimes happen through an agent, through a malach. Because the Pasuk says, Hamalach hagoyaloisi. Parnoso is only directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Pasuk says, Peseches Yodecho, you Hashem, you open up your hand, umasbia, and you satiate the Chol Chai, every living creature, Rotzoin, according to his will, or according to your will, different Meforshim. So Parnoso is directly from Hashem. So if I think, oh, it's my boss, it's my paycheck, it's my payroll, it's my MBA from Harvard, it's my investment acumen, it's all Snarishkeit. It's all the Rebbeinu Shalom. But it's very important not to let ourselves be fooled by the apparent natural cause and effect of life as things go on, that things are happening by that. It's only Hashem, and Hashem is not just involved in our $25,000 experiences, which in those days was a little bit of money, a lot of money. He says he's involved in every single experience. And here, I would just like to tell a story which some of you may have heard before. You may have heard all these stories. I can't help that. But this one is when we were living in the San Fernando Valley many years ago, and the kids were young, and my daughter was in a day camp. She was maybe 8 years old at the time, I remember, and she had to go to camp next day, and they were going on a trip, and hot California sun, and she asked me for 75 cents to buy a soda. Well, you know, the profession of Jewish education wasn't doing that well, and I didn't have 75 cents.
Back then.
What?
Back then.
Back then, yeah. I didn't have 75 cents. What?
Still might not.
No, today I got I think I have a $5 bill in my pocket. Anyway, see, I didn't have 75 cents. She said, what should I do? I need to go. Oh, a soda. This, it's hot, you know. I says, say tillim. She sits down with her younger sister. She was about 3 or 4 at the time. I think 4 maybe. She was 8. She was 4, something like that. And she starts to say tillim. So then she picks up her head after a little bit. She says, I don't get it. I need the money early tomorrow morning. We're leaving for camp at 7:30. And you don't have, what's this going to do? And the little kid yells out something. Maybe somebody will think they got to give you some, I don't know what. Anyway, Bekitzer, she goes to camp. She didn't have the money. She comes back. What happened? A friend of hers, who at the Purim carnival, Purim to the summer is a good 3-4 months, right? 4 months, right? Borrowed 75 cents from her, and that day, they had never discussed it, they forgot all about it, wakes up in the morning and says, hey, I owe the Cohen girl 75 cents from Purim, and she brings it to camp. If we realize that Hashem is involved with the little details of our lives, it makes a major difference in being able to trust Him, because nothing's too small. He is concerned about everything. Every little detail is his business, and he cares about it, and it's important to him. So though, that's the work that we also have to do. One of the ways to help do that is always to credit Hashem for the good that happens. But credit Hashem does not mean, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, just like we say, how are you, Baruch Hashem. I'm not asking you, how are you? I'm not interested. I say, Baruch Hashem, I don't even know what I'm saying, you know. I heard that there was a group, I think one of the organizations or Moistis or something in this neighborhood, where they had a whole group of people, and they were waiting for a ride, and they couldn't finally, somebody came by. Maybe this was in Israel with a tender that had enough room for them. I don't remember. I mean, I don't know the whole details. And they're sitting in the car, and they're singing, thank you, Hashem, thank you, Hashem, thank you, Hashem. Looks a little funny, but it means a lot. That's it, to recognize everything is from Hashem. You know, there used to be a song like that. Well, it must have been a miracle, most amazing miracle from the one and only Hashem. That's the way we have to look at life. Everything's a miracle. Everything Hashem is doing. Kol ma de'ov rachmono le'tav ovid. And ein ol mevadoi. There's no one besides Hashem. He's the only show in town. He does everything. So that's another way for constantly, and these are things, the idea here is in this section is that we must constantly review and think about these things and work on them. Okay, another way, and then there's a piece that I always have quoted here, but I think it's appropriate now too, because this can be discouraging. Because a person will say, oh, there's so much work. I got to learn all of the sources. I got to focus on this. I got to focus on that. I got to remember everything that happens. Gewalt, you know, by the time I'll be 120 plus, that's when maybe I'll have a little bit of bitochen. And until then, it's not going to do me any good. You know, it's not like, so the Chofetz Chaim writes in a letter, and that's it. It's a letter in the Machne Yisroel, to a letter he's writing to soldiers, and the Chofetz Chaim writes the following words, and I quote, "Lefi ulefi goydel habitochin, kach goydel haatzlocha." According to the magnitude of the bitochin, how great the bitochin is, that's how great the haatzlocha. In other words, bitochin is not all or nothing. Bitochin is not, if I'm not 100%, it's not going to help me. It's according to the amount of bitochin, to the level. A little bit. I'm getting there. I'm working on it. I grew from here to here to here to here. I grew from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. That's how much the Hatzlocha grows. It's commensurate. There's an equation. According to the how much Bitochen, how great your Bitochen is getting, that's how great your Hatzlocha is coming, which means that it's Kedai to work on, because the work itself can start to pay dividends as soon as it has some minimal effect on me, then at least I've had a minimal effect on my requests. And when the request comes to money, you know, we do take incremental payments. You know, if it didn't bring me the $1 million that I wanted, because I'm not on that level yet, but it brought me $100,000 because I'm just beginning the first rung. Not bad for a day's work, you know. I mean, it's worthy of something. Okay, now let's move on to another, because I'd like to finish this tonight. Like to try at least. Bitochen and health. That was the next talk, was about bitochen and health, and this is also very important because, really, parnosa, health are really the. I would say parnosa, health, and children are probably the biggest issues that we worry about. You know, everybody worries about parnosa, everybody worries about health, everybody worries about the family and the children, and so this is a specifically an important issue. So first, I always like to mention here the pasuk that when Yaakov was promised that he's going to be protected from Esav, it says Vayisor Yaakov Esraglov Vayelech Aratzu Bnei Kedem. He lifted up his feet. Rashi seems to be bothered. Why does the Torah have to tell me he lifted up his feet? Could have slept his feet. He says, no. Me'achar shehuftach b'shmira, once he had the havtocho that he's going to be watched, nosa libo esraglo v'nasa kalaleches. His heart lifted up his feet, and it became easier or lighter for him to walk. The amount of confidence, of bitocho that I have, can have a transformative effect on my physical being. I now become more capable. I become stronger. My legs become lighter. I can run faster. It has transformed my physical existence because of the extent of the trust that I have in Hashem. And since he had that trust, and this is something that's very important, because really a person, if he has bitochen, not only does he have a means of achieving, of acquiring the things he desires, not only does he have a means, therefore, of reducing stress and developing nuchas nefesh, but he even has a means of doing more hishtadlus in order to get what he wants. Because if I have this bitochen, I become physically more capable. I have more stamina. I have more strength. I have more ability. It affects me in a physical way. So that's something that's important to keep in mind. I knew when I lived in California, I knew Norman Cousins. Norman Cousins was the author of a book, Anatomy of an Illness. He told me that he cured himself of a very debilitating illness in bed for a year by watching Abbott and Costello movies. Yeah. Bet you guys don't even know who Abbott and Costello are. Yeah. You do? Okay, anyway. Yeah. So Abbott and Costello movies, laughing all day. That's all he did. He laughed, you know. You know, and he, Mamish, when I knew him, he was already a healthy, he was an older man, but he was healthy and everything, and he'd written this book, Anatomy of an Illness. But later he went on to do research in UCLA Med School, and he did research on documenting how positive emotions improve the immune system. He did, before they knew negative emotions depress the immune system, and he did research on that positive emotions. So there is something just about the positivity. There's a quote from one of the Mefarshim in the Medrash: "Ki besimchas halev tluyim chayei haguf." In the happiness of the heart is the life of the body dependent. So really, happiness is very, and of course, a person has bitochen is very happy. He's positive. He's optimistic, and so forth. Now, very important to remember when it comes to health. Many people that get sick begin to realize that, as they should, you know, I'm not a perfect human being. Yisurin boyin alov, yifashvish b'masov. He should start to look into his actions and see, maybe I'm not worthy, maybe I'm doing something wrong, maybe I should do tshuva. So then a person might say, oh, I'm in trouble now, because if I'm such an oisvorf, then what's going to be with my bitochen? We have to remember that Chazal say, Rabbi, the posuk says, no, in Tehillim, Rabbi machoivim lo rosho v'abatech b'Hashem chesed yisoyevenu. Greater the suffering of the pain of a rosho, but one who puts his trust in Hashem will be surrounded by chesed. And Chazal say, afilu rosho u'batech b'Hashem chesed yisoyevenu. Bitochon is not only in the purview of the tzaddik. Afilu rosho. He's mamish a rosha, but he puts his trust in Hashem. he'll be chesed yisavivenu, he will be helped. That's the chesed Hashem will apply to him. So that's very important, because sometimes when a person gets sick and he starts to think of himself in a negative way, he has to realize that that doesn't have to impact on the bitochon. Okay. There's another one point when it comes to health. We have to maintain the bitochon that we achieve. It's very easy for it to fluctuate. It's very easy for it to waver. We're working hard on bitochon. We're maintaining a certain level. And the doctor comes out and says, not a chance. It's all over. It's not going to happen. And it's very easy then to start throwing the towel and say, oh, we tried. What can we do? No. Afilu cherev chodo munach al tzavor shel odom al yimna esatz min harachamim. Even if the sharp sword is on the back of his neck, don't hold back from the possibility. Rachmi d'shmaya, Hashem's rachmi, and Hashem's Yeshua, Yeshua's Hashem, clarify like the blink of an eye. So we should not let this desperate seemingly hopeless situations affect that bitochon. I maintain it to the very end. But what's interesting, we also should not allow positive news to impact the bitochon either. Sometimes we hear something positive. We say, oh, okay, that's it. We're okay. We're out of the woods. We're scot-free. We don't have to worry about bitochon. And we sort of let loose on the bitochon a little bit. And here, I want to tell you, well, let me first start with a personal thing. My wife was sick before she passed away for about 6 months. And she was undergoing treatment. And 10 days before the end, the doctor, who was supposed to be one of the biggest mumchim in this field, said that the treatments have been effective. She's okay. 10 days later, it was all over. But I feel that when I heard those words, I let up a little. Oh, it's okay, we're getting out of the woods, and let that bitochen slip a little bit.
Is that your bitochen or her bitochen?
No, I don't know about her bitochen.
No, I'm saying, is that on you?
Yeah, it affects, we can all affect. Bitochen affects other people too, I'll prove it to you. We say tilim for other people, right? Mm-hmm. What are you saying in the tilim? There's no request in the tilim. You're talking of praising Hashem for his chesed. There's no request. The Torah says we get a chizuk in bitochon when we say tehillim, and that serves as a schus for the person who's sick. So there is such a thing. So but that's a good question. But I just know myself. I felt like a little bit I let go because things are better. You have to maintain that bitochon under the best situation, under the worst situation. Maybe I don't want to keep everybody too long, so maybe I'll just tell one more story here. We'll have to finish it up the next time, which will be in 2 weeks, because I'm not going to be here next week. Just one. This is a chassidish story which I can't take responsibility for, but it's so beautiful in its message. I heard it on a tape in those days from Yontel Erlich. Yontel Erlich sang Yiddish ballads, beautiful, beautiful Yiddish ballads. He wrote them, he sang them, he was a very creative person. And anyway, so he tells the story like this. There was a younger man, someone who was very, very sick. And they brought all the doctors and everything, and nothing was going to change. He's finished. And a Rebbe came, I don't know who he was, and he said, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to work on my bitochon and try to save his life. He goes back to his shtetl, he's working on his bitochon to try to save this younger man's life. He sends to, in those days in Europe, he sends his gaboyim to the local inn to see if anybody had come from that town to see how that younger man is doing. And finally, they find this lady who came from that town. They ask her, and she puts on a sad face, and she says, he's not here. He passed away 2 weeks ago. So, and they were very distraught. They go back to tell the Rebbe, and the Rebbe's answer is, in Yiddish, is konit sein. Der junge Mann ist gesund und fein. Can't be. He's healthy. He's fine. What did it, what to make of all of this? They run back to the, they go, he says, go back to the inn and find some other people from that shtetl and see what really happened. And they find two people and they ask him, and they say, yeah, Baruch Hashem was a grace of Ness. And Rabbi Kisser, we saw him in shul. That was, anyway, they fainted, they got boy, that's besides the point. And then they run back to the Rebbe, and they say, Rebbe, you know, like, he's alive and well. So the Rebbe says, my bitochen didn't fool me, and he closes the door. Later they come back, and they want to know, what happened? What happened over here? So the Rebbe says like this, and this is the part I can't take responsibility for, because I don't know how we know these things. He says, the woman that you saw, said, what happened was, I was working on my bitochen. And the Malchamoves, the Sultan, was fighting me. He was trying to interfere with my bitochen, and he'll be able to take this guy's life, because his life was dependent at that moment. It really had, I guess he was chayiv, and there was a gzeira and everything else, but my bitochen was interfering. So he says he was going desperate. He didn't know what to do. The Malchamoves dressed up like that lady that you saw, and he gave you that psura that the man died. Because he figured, if you'll come back and tell me that the man died, then I'll stop my bitochen, and then the Malach HaMavis will have his nitzoch. And it all rhymes too in Yiddish. It was very beautiful. See here? So he says, his life was hanging in a thread. Had I allowed that psura to affect my bitochen, wow, he would have been gone today. So we see that that person has to, what do you mean? But he's died. No, I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it. When I see it, you know, seeing is believing. But no. And how many times? Do you know there was a story recently about somebody who they said was dead or brain dead and had everything and had a complete refuah.
36 minutes?
I don't know, something. I just saw it in passing.
I haven't emailed.
And there was another one who was a woman who was in a coma that gave birth to a baby. That was like, she was months and months in a coma. All of a sudden, they didn't know she was pregnant. I don't know. But what are we talking about? You know, Hashem can do anything. Mimela, that person has to be very careful that even though the doctor gave the worst possible report, we don't let up. But, and I also point out again, that even if he gives the best possible report, shouldn't take our eyes off the ball. Because that bitochen has to remain firm. And when we margil ourselves, we get ourselves used to this attitude in life, that strengthens our bitochen, and we become a whole different type of human being.